Well, last week we got to have a lot of fun, I think, in our service when we took on some questions that a lot of you had, and well, we only got through three of them, to be honest with you. But we had some fun doing a Q&A time last Sunday, and you know, it just showed me, though, how many questions there actually are. After the service, someone had put a stack of questions into the offering, and some amazing questions, actually, just things that, you know, they're thinking through and wrestling with, and love to receive those questions. Now, if it was you who actually put those in last week, I may not be able to get to them all in a service at some point, so I'd love to talk with you. So if that was you, because they were anonymous, I don't know who it was who sent them in. If you want to come talk to me at some point, I would love that and have a chance to catch up with you about those. But what we wanted to do over this next month was kind of capture a question that, you know, comes up from time to time. And it's a question, I think, that, you know, we sometimes ask within church. It's a question that some people ask outside of church as well. And the question is simply this. Why church? Why do we have this thing called church? Or some people might ask the question in a different way. You know, why bother going to church? Or, you know, can I be a Christian and not go to church? You know, this question of why church? Why do we do this thing together? Why do we have this time and this space that we take together? So we want to answer that question this month as we talk about, you know, why do we do church in general? Why do we do church as Lakewood Alliance Church? Like, what can we talk about even just in terms of our own church body here? And then, in a sense, why bother at all? And we're going to talk on our third week of this series about some of the benefits and also the responsibilities of being the church together. Now, you may be wondering, you know, why are we even bothering with this conversation? Why is Dave asking this question? This seems like a pastor question to ask, not a question I would ask. Maybe that's fair. But if we look around at the society around us and how the world is going all around us, I think it'd be fair to say that there's some challenges that we're facing as a society, as a culture. There's a sense in which I think people are still very spiritual. There's a lot of positive things said about spirituality, and lots of different places to look for how we can express our spirituality. And yet there is a sense in which increasingly what we would maybe call organized religion is seeing a decline of people connecting with that. People loving spirituality, not so much loving organized religion or church. But it's not just about what's happening within church why we'd ask this question. It's a bigger question than that. You know, one of the challenges I think we're facing these days is that with an increase in social media and an increase with online connections, people in some ways are becoming increasingly detached from each other personally. I see this among friends that we have and among groups that we're a part of out there in the world, that in a sense we're becoming increasingly isolated from one another. We build bigger houses with theater rooms, we have smaller yards and less places where we're likely to run into our neighbors, right? We increasingly have these spaces where I can have my own personal bubble of what I want to do and not really have it intersect with anybody else. I can personalize my news feed. I can get only the stories that I want to read about. I can read things that other people that are like me are going to be reading. I can watch things that other people like me are going to watch. I can customize everything. I can watch a whole series on Netflix in a weekend if I want. But it's increasingly isolating me from others. And so there's a sense within our society of real individualism where we're missing a part of just human contact in a deeper human relationship. And the reality is that we were created for relationship. We are created to be in relationship with one another. Now, the church is a place where, over the years, I have found relationship. And what's cool about it is, it's not just in the local church where I'm a part. It's not just in our church family. I know about you guys, but you know, we've traveled a few times to different places, whether across our country or overseas in different places. And I remember, you know, one space just in particular, and this has happened in many places, but when we were in Germany a number of years ago, it was incredible to be there with people we had just barely met. And in a country where we don't speak the language, in a place where, you know, we don't know a lot of what's going on, and yet we could go to that place called church to be with these people and we could feel at home. Completely at home. Loved, cared for, as people just around us wrapped their arms around us while we were there. It was kind of funny, actually, when we were there, because we didn't understand what the church service was, because most of it was in German. We had these huge headphones on, and there was this guy. He was Indian by birth, and I think English was his fourth or fifth language. I can't remember which one it was, and German, I think, was his second or third. So anyways, he was the one who was translating the message for us as we had these huge headphones on. And it was funny because some of the German people there were looking at us, laughing at us, thinking we looked like Mickey Mouse because the headphones were so big. But anyways, what would happen is the pastor was kind of a little bit like me in that he'd speak quickly. And so he'd say a lot of things, and we'd be listening to him, you know, just kind of speaking on and on and on and on and on in German. And then over our headphones, what we would hear is... Well, basically what he said was this. And we get like the one line that would cover paragraphs of what the pastor had actually said. But even with that, you know, kind of lost in translation sense of being there, we were so incredibly loved by the church. As followers of Jesus, we have this incredible relationship that we're invited into that's called church. So just to start off today, let's get a few definitions out of the way before we get too far into this. Because, you know, we often talk about going to church, right? Okay, I got to get to the church. As if the church is the building. And in a sense, you know, we do call this our church building. But this is not the church. We are the church. The people together are the church. This is the gathering, if you like. That's really the word that we should be using, is the gathering. So when we talk about the church, it's not like you go to church. We are church. So when we get together, we are the church. This is who we are. Now, there's two different ways we can look at the church, too. One is a sense in which there's a universal kind of church. And I don't mean that everyone is part of the church. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that it's the church around the world and through all of history. There's one church. It's not a whole bunch of churches. It is one church. That's the universal church. So every person who believes that Jesus is the one who came, was sent by God to die, pay the penalty for our sins so that we could have new life in him, everyone who calls out to him and believes in his name as the Son of God, they make up the church, the one church, right? Anyone who's a follower of Jesus is part of the universal church all around the world, all through history. And those people, all of us who have done that, are welcomed into a relationship both with God and with each other as part of the church. It reconciles our relationship with God because Jesus dealt with all the penalty for our sinfulness, and we're also brought into this community called the church. And it's a community that I said, like, we can feel this all around the world. You can go to any body and feel like you're a part of the church because you are. So there is this global sense of the church. And, you know, we've tried in some ways to put down in words like what the whole church as a whole would hold together is what we believe. And there's been different attempts to do that, different creeds that have been written, such as the Apostles' Creed, let's read this out for you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So you could say that this is, you know, this may not cover the whole universal church, but this is a general statement of the beliefs of what the church around the world is about. Believe in God the Father Almighty, believe in Jesus Christ, that he came, lived a sinless life, that he died for our sins, he ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to live among us. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The universal church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, our hope one day, and life everlasting. That is the universal church. All who call on the name of Jesus are a part of it, okay? So you can be a Christian, and you are a part automatically of the church. We also have a local church. Now, we have a local church because This is, in a sense, a microcosm or a small piece of the universal church that has chosen to meet together and do really what the universal church is called to do as a small expression of it in our city, in our particular place where we live. And the local church really is a necessary part of this because in order to live out what we're supposed to as the universal church, we need people we can actually do that with one-on-one. People we get to know, people we are committed to and connected with. And we'll talk a little bit about that today as we actually get into what the Bible has to say about this. Because it's really unimportant what I have to say about this. It's way more important what God had to say about this. And so we're going to turn there in just a moment. But before we do that, let's pray and ask him to meet us here in this place. So Father, we just thank you that when you called to us and we responded and gave our lives to Jesus, you didn't just set us out in the world on our own, but you called us into relationship with you and into relationship with each other. That as the church, we could experience the life that you have for us. Just pray, Lord, that as we open up your word to consider this question, why church? Why do we do this? God, that you would open up our eyes to see the things that we need to see in your word. Open up our ears to hear your voice as you speak to us today. And in all of this, Lord, may we be encouraged and strengthened as your church. Lord, that this world would be able to see you through us. So God, we give you this time, and we just pray your blessing on us as we come to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, two answers this morning to the question, why church? And the first one is, because it is. You with me? Didn't think so. What do I mean by the church is? Well, here's the thing. The church is, in many places in the New Testament, referred to as the body of Christ. See, when I say why church, because it is because this is the reality of who we are as followers of Jesus. You can't say I'm a Christian and not part of the church. That actually doesn't function when you look at the Bible. It just doesn't work logically. When you are a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ, the church. You are part of it. So why church? Well, because it is what God has done. This is what God has created. If you want to look up some references for this and some great passages about the church being the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4 all talk about this at some length, about what it means for us to be the body of Christ. So this isn't necessarily something we choose. You don't say, well, I want to be, I mean, you can choose to be a Christian or not a Christian. You can choose to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. But if you choose to follow Jesus, you don't get to choose whether you're part of the church or not. That's not a choice. You are part of the church. That is who you are as a follower of Jesus. Because the church is the body of Christ. This is who we are as his followers. We're part of this body and we belong to one another. Now, I said Romans 12 is a good place to read some of what Paul said about this. Here's what he says. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, so we have one body, lots of different parts, arms, legs, teeth, eyes, other parts, and these members do not have all the same function, our arms are different than our legs, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And he talks more about that. Just as we have a body, and we have these different parts, some parts which are less essential, like our hair, other parts which are very essential, like our heart or our brain. All of us have this one body with all these different parts that function differently within us, but it's all part of the same body. And so too, the body of Christ is like that. It's made up of many members, all who look a little different from each other and have a different function according to the gifts that God gives, but we are all part of one body. This is who you are, and each member belongs to the others. We are all connected. This is who we are. This is the reality of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is that you are a part of this thing. You are part of the body of Christ, the church. This is what it is. So why church? Because it is. This is the reality of what God has made when we choose to follow Jesus. Now, here's the thing, and I get it. There are times when probably all of us at some point who have walked with Jesus and been part of church, when we have wanted to throw rocks at church, whether our church or another church. When we see stuff going down that we go, that is really horrible. When we see, abuses within churches and, kids who have been abused over the years. Or we see, people in leadership within the church running off with other people in extramarital affairs. And you go, oh my goodness, this is awful. Or other things that churches do that just make you shake your head and open palm, insert forehead. Like, it's awful. And there have been times in my life when I have wanted to throw rocks at the church and just say, this is not okay, and it is such a waste of time. The thing is, the church, this is my family. This is who God has given to me to walk with in this journey of life as I follow Jesus. Yeah, we got warts. We got some parts that we'd really rather just cover up with some clothes and not let anyone see them because it's just a little bit embarrassing, right? We all have spaces like that. But this is who we are. We are the body of Christ together. Whether we're having a good day or a bad day, whether someone's done something really stupid or not, we are the body of Christ. You know, as much as we might like to distance ourselves sometimes from it or just say, you know what, I don't want to deal with it, here's the problem. God's pretty straight with us about our responsibility within the body. And there's a couple scary texts, and I'm calling them scary texts because they are kind of scary when you read them. Here they are. This is one that John wrote. He said, we love because he first loved us. That's not so scary yet. We love each other because God first loved us. That's a great gift. That's a huge gift. Whoever claims, though, to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister who they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us his command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So, if you are saying, I love God and I'm a follower of Jesus, but I really can't stand the church, whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. You're full of it. If you cannot choose to love one another, you cannot love God. It's pretty plain. So if I'm going to say I am a Christian, but I'm going to despise other Christians, there's something not adding up. The other scary text. How are we doing so far? You liking these ones? That's good. Other one was something Jesus said. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if we want to chuck rocks at people in the church, if we want to, tear down this thing that God has made and say, you know what, I'm going to choose that person wronged me, and I'm holding on to it. It's a scary thought of what happens for you. I wish I could tell you I was making this up, and God is just a big God of love, and it doesn't matter what you do, he's just going to take you anyways, and everything's going to be all right. But like we talked about last week, he respects our free will and choice. And if we choose to live in wrongful relationship with one another, there are consequences to that. So why church? Well, the church is the body of Christ, and we are called to live within it in love for one another, forgiving each other. We spent all fall talking about this, all the one another's, that the Bible taught, not even, we didn't get through nearly all of them. But one another is like, forgive one another. Love one another. Bear with one another. Encourage one another. Admonish one another. Don't judge one another. The church is what God has created us to be. So why church? Because it is, right? It is the reality of what God has made. And really, it is a gift. I mean, that's something we got to understand. This is a gift to have people who we can live in relationship with and encourage each other. And that kind of leads us to our second piece. Why church? Because we are truly better together. Let's face it, PB is better with J, right? And J by itself, I mean, really? That's just sad. We're better together. And there's a whole bunch of different ways we could talk about this. But let me just pick up a couple. This comes through in many different places in the New Testament. But one way we are better together is that we are here to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to help one another along the road of life, because the road of life is hard. It has detours. It has speed bumps. It has potholes. It has all kinds of stuff that trips us up. And we need one another to encourage each other so we keep walking with Jesus all the way along the way. So we're here to encourage each other. Hebrews 10 says it this way, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Don't give up on this space where we get together. Don't give up on seeing each other in different life groups or different things, because that's the space we can encourage one another, spurring each other on to keep going no matter what we're walking through. There's an old story and told about a pastor who went to visit one of their congregation members who hadn't been in church for a while and went over to their house, and the person was just sitting there by the fire. And the pastor, without a word, came in and just sat for a moment, looked into the fire with all of its glowing red-hot embers. He took the tongs sitting beside the fireplace, picked them up, and took out one of the coals from the fire and just simply set it on the hearth. And in just a few moments, that coal moved from being red hot to more of a dull red, eventually to a cold gray. The congregation member said, "I'll be in church on Sunday, Pastor." When we pull ourselves away from community, when we pull ourselves away from the source of encouragement, the fire that we are together, we become cold and dull and gray. We need one another to spur one another on, to encourage each other, keep challenging each other, to love on each other, to bless each other. This is a huge gift that we've been given. We don't have to walk the road alone. We have one another to do this with. So let's continue to do this. Let's continue to be better together as we encourage one another. Another piece of this, we pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, which the whole text is great to read, but let me just pick out a couple verses here. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Okay, general point. We have one another so we can grow. God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. These are all different parts of the body, right? You may want to consider some of them the mouth of the body because they talk a lot. Kind of like me, right? But God gave these different roles, right, within the body so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all become mature, right? There's a growth element in who we are together. Growing to maturity, growing to experience the fullness of Christ in our lives. So here's one way of thinking about this. And this is not necessarily, this isn't the only way, but this is one way to think about this. As the body, as the church, we get to see a bigger picture of who God is than we would ever experience by ourselves. What do you think of that? Let me say it again. As the body of Christ, as a group of people, we get to experience a bigger, fuller picture of who God is than we would by ourselves. Why? I'll tell you why. For me, the way I primarily hear the voice of God is when I'm spending time in His Word, and sometimes in prayer. But I know other people who encounter God in so many different spaces. Some people who encounter Him so much more in music. Some people who encounter Him so much more in nature. Some people who encounter Him so much more in relationship with other people. There's lots of different ways that we experience a touch from God. And you are different than me. You're probably thanking God for that right now, that you are different than me. And that's great. Because that means as we get to rub shoulders together, as we get to talk together about our experiences with God, we get a bigger picture and a fuller understanding of who God is than we ever would have received ourselves. How many times have you been encouraged by hearing someone else's story of what God did in their life, even over the last week, or some other way He was at work in their life or doing something in them or for them? I've been encouraged so many times with our sharing Sundays when people get up and share different ways that God has been moving in them. And I just go, wow, God is way bigger than I think He is. He works in so many more ways than I ever thought He did. It pushes me to a bigger, fuller understanding of who God is. And that is a part of me growing up to maturity and experiencing more of the fullness of Christ. Can you be a Christian in isolation? Sure, I guess you can be. Are you really going to get a big picture of God? Nope. Are you probably going to have a picture of God and a sense of God that you could fit easily in a box? Yep. And it'll probably be reflective of your personality. We need each other to grow up together and experience God more fully in our lives. We are way better together. There's also another sense, if we were to keep reading in Ephesians 4, Paul gets into some pretty challenging stuff, talking about putting off our old self with all the sinfulness that's a part of that, all the horrible choices we make to destroy ourselves and other people, and instead taking on the new self, which is all about the Holy Spirit and letting the holiness of God be a part of our life. And, you know, as he talks about this, this is all in the context still of the body. And being part of the body really helps us actually deal with our sin. To put off that old self, put on the new self. Help us encourage each other to walk well with God. In another spot, in James, it talks about confessing our sins to one another. Praying for each other so we can experience healing. So there's a space for that encouragement, that growth side that helps us deal with the sinfulness and other stuff in our life. And the other way we do that is because some of that stuff has to be dealt with in relationship. You know, when it talks about loving each other or forgiving each other, you can't do that in isolation. There's a lot of things that we're told to do as followers of Jesus that we cannot do if we're just by ourselves. You can't do it. How can you be generous by yourself if there's no one else receiving that generosity? How can you serve someone else if there's no one else there to receive that service? How are you really going to forgive someone if there's no one to forgive? How can you do that in isolation? See, we're called to relationships so we can actually work out these things with each other and grow as people into people of greater grace and understanding and forgiveness and compassion. Now, what that means is things get messy from time to time. It means that we have uncomfortable conversations with people. It means that, you know, some things hurt us at some points. It means that we don't always get our way. But we're called to community so we can actually grow into who God has made us to be, and we can't do that alone. We are better together because we actually can become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, as we live together in community. We're better together. We experience more of who God is. We experience more of who He wants us to be when we do it together. And ultimately, that also leads us to accomplish more for God's kingdom. As the body, with all the different parts working, when you have evangelists who are out there on the front lines helping people get to know who Jesus is before they ever knew who he was, right? And then you have those who come alongside who can disciple them and care for them and show mercy to them along the way. This helps us do more for what God wants to see happen in the world so that everyone can experience his grace and love. But we need each other. We need each other for that. We are truly better together. And that's another huge reason why church. So, why church? Because it is. And why church? Because we are really better together. And I got to say, recently, I've really experienced the value of church and felt the value of church. In a whole bunch of different ways. On a personal level, experienced it very much with the journey that we're walking through with my father-in-law. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to know that we have a loving community here who has embraced Tara and I and our boys with such care and compassion, checking in with how we're doing, how Tara's dad is doing, and just loving on us as we walk a difficult journey. As we hope and wait for God's healing, but if it doesn't come, as we walk ultimately towards death and grief. It has been unbelievable to know you guys are standing with us and caring for us through this. To know that down there, they too have their church family. And to have experienced there too the blessing of that church family who have come around Dennis and Sonia so well, and even us when we were down at Christmas time. Most of the meals we ate were not prepared in our kitchen there. Other people brought stuff constantly and cared for their needs. There's value in being together and caring for one another. Even just watching sometimes on Facebook, I know I gave social media a hard time earlier, but seeing people care for one another within our church family. There's little things that come up on there every now and again. And, even this morning I read someone who posted on there about just care that they had received from someone else within our church and what a difference it had made. It was something simple like picking up a new carpet for them and blessing them. Sat down at a Skype call yesterday with Mitch and Andrea in Edmonton. And they wanted you guys to know how much it means to them that we pray regularly for them as a church family. How much encouragement and support and love they feel from us as a church, even though we only see them face to face maybe once a year, maybe a couple times a year. They feel incredibly blessed to know that we as a church are standing with them as they go on mission with God into a place where there's all sorts of challenges that they're facing. But to know that we are their church family standing with them is huge for them. Encouraging them, strengthening them, so they can go and do and minister to people who maybe we never could altogether. But we still stand together and are accomplishing more for God's kingdom together because we're doing it together. We are better together. And so as we explore this question over these coming weeks, I really hope that your heart is stirred in a couple of ways. One, that you would experience the blessing of being part of God's family and part of a local family that's God's family. That you would really experience the blessing of that, but that you would also be stirred in your heart to see how it is that you can be a blessing to others within this family. You know, just thinking about probably today, how can we encourage you? What do you need? What are the spaces that you're wrestling with that, man, you could just really use a huge hug from someone today? Or maybe if you're not a touchy-feely person, you could use a really good handshake from someone today. Or someone just to ask how you're doing. Or to offer a hand. or to spend a little bit of time. And also maybe who, as you look around this place and you see other people and other faces, or maybe you notice faces that aren't here today, maybe God will lay it on your heart for you who you can encourage, who you could just reach out in conversation to touch someone else's life and lift them up today. It's a huge part of what we do as the body of Christ, to lift one another up, to love one another, even as he has loved us. So why church? Oh man, there's so many reasons. It's an incredible blessing God has created and given to us. And as we experience the life that we have here, oh boy, there's incredible and tremendous blessing. And I hope that you will experience it and be a part of it even today and in the days ahead. Let me pray for us together, and then we'll take some time of response. Father, I just give you thanks for the church. This relationship that you have created for us so that we don't walk alone, but we have others walking with us to lift us up, encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, so that together we would grow to maturity, to experience the fullness of Christ. God, even today, I pray that we would experience the blessing of this community, and also that we would be able to be a blessing to one another. God, encourage our hearts, I pray. And in the spaces where we are struggling and just need your touch today, may we receive it. Meet each one, Lord, in the places where we are. We give you thanks for your love, your compassion, and the joy that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.